that your PlayStation and my Xbox. With Xbox's recently released Retro Classics Library for Game Pass subscribers, a litany of DOS, SNES, Atari, Amiga, and PlayStation games arrived on Xbox and in PCs everywhere, with more to come. Naturally, these games are played via a streamed connection. Not that streamed games are novel at this point, though there is something strange about a keyboard plugged into a game console to play Zork. This is the Activision Acquisition Headline. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about Retro Classics and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting it now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We are live. Hello, hello. Once again, May the 25th of 2025 with episode number 1048 of our show. Hope those of you in the States are having a good Memorial Day weekend. But we're here to talk about video games as we usually do. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you every week. And my co-hosts, welcome back this week, the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Welcome back. How was Golden State Pinball Fest? You had a good time there, right?
It was lots of fun, and I played lots of stuff. I got stuff for y'all.
And
I'll tell you during my gaming week.
I caught you on Blue Sky and then over on Twitch that you were doing some commentating for a little bit, too, which I wasn't expecting. That was kind of neat to see. Yeah.
I was commenting on the women's pinball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
There were some mean tables. They were rude. The word of the night was rude.
That reminds me of that TikTok trend. I don't know if you see it, but there's that. Okay. So they made Death Becomes Her a musical, right? So it's a big musical on Broadway right now. And one of the songs, and I think it's right after, the one, you know, Meryl Streep gets a hole blown inside, or no, was that Goldie Hawn? I don't know. One of them gets the shotgun, but obviously it's but she goes, that was rude.
That was Goldie Hawn.
That was pretty fucking rude. It's really funny. Like, you have to, I know you're not a big TikTok person, but it's these videos, like, I see them all the time. I'm sure YouTube Shorts, Instagram, wherever, are all, they all pull the same memes. So, yeah.
Well, the only one of those that I care about was Drag Becomes Her with Ben Delacreme.
Oh, that looked like it was fun. I would have seen that.
I was third row watching that.
I was front row when they did Drop Dead Gorgeous with Pandora Box, and Ben Delacreme was in that one too. That was a lot of fun. But anyway, let's see. What else was I going to say here? Oh, so you're doing the commentating, and were you able to see the winner and all that good stuff, or was it still like the qualifiers?
I saw the winner, but I don't remember who it was because I just wasn't familiar with everybody. But it was a really... It was a really good tournament. There was lots of skill. Just the machines were not kind. They were not kind.
Mm. Very rude.
But quite rude.
It was pretty fucking rude.
But I learned a lot about some of the intricacies of some of the older tables there, though. Mm. And I have to say that I was pretty impressed, actually, with the John Wick table. It's a lot more fun than I thought it was the first time I played it.
Mm.
But I'll tell you more about some of the tables I played at the con. We actually brought in a prototype of the Portal multimorphic table.
That's so cool that you have that.
It is now packaged up and ready to go back to the developer.
Mm.
But it was pretty great.
Nice.
More later.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't get out there. Our errands had backed up and we just didn't have time during the week to do them. And I was like, I'll live. I'll be sad, but I'll live. So, all right, let's get to the one and only Techmaster Loki is here tonight.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. I am here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. I notice the game you have behind you, because we are broadcasting live, of course, at Twitch Television, twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice Geeks Network, VOG Network. We broadcast live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, except, plot twist, there was no Bobby Blackwolf on tonight. He was streaming on other parts of Twitch as they were doing speedruns. I believe the twist is games they were learning to speedrun, or like had not speedrun before, like a roulette type of thing. That was all at MomoCon. So it was all things related to MomoCon, which is another big convention in Atlanta. It's like the anime convention in the off season of DragonCon. So he was at MomoCon this weekend, and so he wasn't able to be here live tonight, but I was following his Blue Sky and it looked like he was having a lot of fun. So I don't blame him for taking the night off to enjoy the rest of MomoCon and whatever other antics he may be up to tonight. But he'll be back next week. But Loki, as we are taping live, I notice you have a game playing behind you here, and it took me a minute to realize that's the Lilo and Stitch game that you have playing from like Game Boy Advance or something, right?
It is from Game Boy Advance. Okay. Yeah. So I've never played this. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, we've done the show for like thousands of times, and so it's
1,047, and then this one more. Yes.
Trying to think of new games to put behind me, you know, every time. So I heard about this recently, I guess. It was, I think, through Blue Sky. Someone was posting, like, retro games. And they were talking about how the game was kind of like a Metal Slug clone, which sounded cool to me. So I just thought I'd throw it up behind me since the movie just live-action remake just came out.
Yeah, I was curious.
Which I have not watched.
Okay, so I was curious if you were playing that because you saw the live-action remake.
I have heard some garbage about the movie.
I'm so...
I don't have much interest in a lot of these live-action remakes.
Remakes, they're desperate. They're screaming, we need more coin. I don't know if any of them I've seen have been good. I damn near walked out of Beauty and the Beast at the beginning. That opening scene was so terrible. It grew on me as it went on, but...
It wouldn't be so bad. Like Stitch, like as far as like Stitch goes in the movie, was well represented, I think. I mean, it looked good. It's all the other side characters that they tweaked and changed and then added more in. It's like, why? Why did you add more side characters and nobody cares about these people? And then certain things they took out because of the culture that we live in now.
Interesting.
Just like stupid things like that.
I'm curious if the non-Disney remake, because they're doing How to Train Your Dragon as a remake now. So I'm curious one's going to maybe buck the trend because it's not Disney. I'm very curious. That would be very interesting because then maybe they'll remake all the like non-Disney. Can we get a Shrek live action remake? I think there are millions of people that would love a Shrek live action remake.
No,
I'm sorry. Yes. We're getting a Shrek 5, so I mean that's coming.
Ever since awful. I saw the performances online of Shrek secondary characters only.
No. They did show there. So there was a teaser for the new Shrek, and if I remember correctly, I think they changed what his model or like some of the models of the characters look like, and it's not great.
Uh oh.
If I remember correctly, It's like, what did you do to this? And I get it. Like, Shrek and that stuff was from an age of when earlier CG, and obviously things have improved over time. But also, like, I don't know.
It's,
you know, maybe if it's been like over 10 years since your last movie, maybe you don't need to make another one.
Maybe not. Maybe not. All right, let's get into, you know, we do love movies, but we also love video games. And we have a couple kickoff topics tonight because they're pretty short. And one of them at least has to do with my gaming week. I don't know about y'all, but I play the shit out of this week. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, an interesting plot twist in Sony's world, right, Loki?
I mean, I didn't think that this was going to last very long anyways, because it's barely mentioned. It was just
horrible
like
job promoting this. Horrible job promoting this.
Their other incentive program that they had as well, which I also could never figure out how to get enrolled in or get points in, or when I did have points, how to do anything with it. So, like, it doesn't even matter. But anyways, PlayStation Stars, their loyalty program that you may or may not have been aware of, where you could get points for, like, playing games, launching programs, doing that kind of stuff. They're sunsetting it. So as of this week, they're going to no longer let you, or I should say last week, no longer letting you sign up, probably because it's, you know, being shut down July 23rd. July 23rd, all campaigns, additional rewards, and existing benefits will cease. Yay. And then November 2nd, 2026, any remaining points you have will be wiped out because they'll be officially over. Yeah, I don't know. They said, since launching our program, we've learned a lot from evaluating the types of activities our players respond to. And as a company, we're always involved in blah. Through this evaluation, we've decided to refocus our efforts and we'll be winding down the current PlayStation Stars thing. My guess is because people aren't using it, and also maybe just the engagement that they got with it wasn't good. But once again, they didn't push it and the rewards are probably crap. So... I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, well, PSA, you can get PlayStation dollars through this. So you may have signed up for this some time ago and forgot about it. I was like casually checking it out through the PlayStation app because once in a while, like it would ping me and say like, you unlock this May challenge. I was like, oh, I should unlock these other challenges. So I was just trying to like passively accumulate these stars and I got like $10 worth of PlayStation dollars. So before they shut this down, I would encourage you, if you think you may have signed up for this, because obviously you can't sign up for it now, but if you think you may have signed up for this, go in and see if you have accumulated stars. You might be able to get like a $5, $10 PlayStation gift card through this, which, hey, $10, free money, right? And they give away, or I shouldn't say give away, but you can buy games, some games, using points as well. And it's not, it's not shitty stuff. It's stuff like Hades was an offering on there. And there was another one very recently that was pretty big. I think maybe Vampire Survivor or something. You can get some pretty good games with points. So check that out. Just a PSA before they end this program. But yeah, to echo what Loki said, they did a horrible job promoting this. There wasn't really much incentive to participate. They didn't really make it obvious that like it was like could be like a cash back type of thing, that like, because as you buy games digitally on PlayStation, you may have been accumulating stars. If you were in this program, you're probably getting stars as you buy games digitally and you may not know it. So go get your money before they take this back. But then it was like, oh, by getting trophies, you can level up to 3 and 4. And then what do you get when you level up to level 4? Do you get these awesome perks? No, they call it priority routing for voice chat. The fuck does that even mean? Priority routing for voice? What the fuck does that even mean? Do the pores get like Dixie cup and string quality chat? Like what's going on? I don't it makes no sense as a perk.
Why should like quality voice service in your online like a function of, it's like if you earn enough points, guess what, your disc based system will play discs.
Yeah, I know, it's it doesn't like, make sense.
That's just, once again, like look at that, like let's look, like think about that for a second. Okay, a company is giving you a feature that the console already technically has, but so it's like really of no value. It's like, oh yeah, we took this away so we can give it back to you. Aren't you thankful? Well, you haven't said thank you yet for our PlayStation Star service. We're taking it away. You aren't grateful enough for it. So
it's very whatever. That. It's very who cares.
But you know what? You know who is more grateful? Microsoft, maybe in this case, because they're going to give you 50 plus classic Activision games as well as other things.
Sierra, hello,
yes,
Sierra,
through Ant Stream's arcade streaming. So it's the new retro classics, and like I said, it's powered by Ant Stream, and they've got a bunch of old classic games, you know, Sierra, Activision. I see some of the MechWarrior stuff in there, some of the older, obviously, like 2600 Activision games as well. Even looks like there's a PlayStation 1 game on there, but Amiga, Super Nintendo, DOS, lots of offerings, 50 games so far, and I think more are going to be coming later on. But yeah, that's really cool. Apparently, if you have, of course, your Game Pass subscription. So, yeah, that's really cool to check out. I've not played any of this.
So Microsoft fucking stealth released Game Room again randomly in the middle of the week. Kind of. It's not actually Game Room. There's some very big differences. But I got to say,
there's no room for the games to be in.
Shut up. I was very pleasantly surprised at this release. Like this, you know, I love me some retro games. And I was just like shocked to see that this just came back out of nowhere. And I was like, this is what I fucking wanted Microsoft to do when they purchased Activision. Like, I was like, do you know what a rich fucking library? Activision has been around since fucking Atari days. Like, they have been making, like, really, they were the good guys in the Atari days, believe it or not, because they were willing to credit developers and publishers. Remember David Crane's Pitfall, one of the, like, legendary games of all time and all that? Like, this is what I wanted to see them do. So to see this really come out of nowhere was really surprising in the best possible way. So, but is it really nowhere? Because it isn't. It's built completely on the back of something else. And that was also surprising and also probably the most controversial take of this whole thing. So what this really is, this is AntStream. You remember AntStream? AntStream was that company that launched a Kickstarter about, I want to say it was probably even before the pandemic. It was a few years ago. And they were going to cloud stream classic games. And that was a little bit controversial because not everybody's into the cloud streaming. But being server side, it allows them to do some things like challenges and tournaments and competitions without fear of people necessarily hacking this. This literally the Retro Classics app. And it's itty bitty. It is an itty bitty app because it's just a wrapper for AntStream. It is not the full AntStream client that has what, like fucking 1,300. No, they got tons. They got like 3,000 games running in it. They got a ton of games in regular AntStream right now. But this is a special version of it that obviously Microsoft kind of paid them to do that only has, you know, the games that Microsoft has the rights to through all of their acquisitions over the years, which now includes Activision. I didn't even realize that somehow included the Magic stuff like Atlantis and, you know, those games from the Atari days, Sierra, which, you know, Activision has, you know, acquired at some point. So, I mean, it's really leaning into some of their legacy holdings. But the most controversial part of this app is going to be it's cloud streaming. And people are going to say, eh, that sucks. That's not how I want to enjoy my retro games. So,
well, I mean, retro games, those streaming retro games, they're so small. Like, I can't imagine that it's actually like,
no, it does nothing streaming to your
that stuff. It's just downloading to your console.
It does nothing to your bandwidth. But like I noticed when I was streaming, so there's a game in there that Imagic made called Cosmic Arc, which I just did a YouTube video on that when I was kind of doing my retro stuff last year before that fell off the wagon. But I did a whole video on Cosmic Arc. And so I played that because they have a challenge. Which, again, that's the part I love about this is that they have these challenges and they do things with it where they can actually have these retro competitions. So I was doing a challenge for Cosmic Arc and I was like, oh, I can tell the artifacting in this one. Oof. You can see it. Like, you know, because it's very colorful. Bad. And I was like, I mean, it's not horrible, but it's enough where I'm like, okay, for an Atari 2600 game, I can see that some pixels don't look the same color as others. And it's that whole thing. So going to chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Let's see. Pod Culture says, I wonder if you could use the Switch 2 controller. And I think that's in a response to Questbuster saying it's wild seeing Quest of Glory on a modern console, which I definitely applaud. But using a controller to navigate it had me jonesing for a keyboard and mouse. Yeah, and you can play it on PC as well. But yeah, you know, some of these are games we haven't seen in a very long time. Renmari 68K is in chat. Hello, saying, I really do dislike cloud streaming games, TBH. It's always on DRM 211. And I get that, and that's valid. And that's why I can't really say this is Game Room. This is AntStream, but it's Microsoft's version of that. Still, you don't have to pay for it. You're paying for Game Pass, but it's one of those like Game Pass continuing to fucking deliver right now between Clair Obscur, Doom the Dark Ages, like, and all the shit they've had on Game Pass lately. It's like, and now there's this too. But I will say, I gotta be a little critical too, where I'm a little bit hyped about this because I love the things like challenges. They don't have achievements in the games. There's like global achievements for the client, but meh. I gotta say, it's a little rough around the edges. I don't know who decided to release this half-baked. That's the weird thing. I was like, why did they release this on a random week in May? I would have thought this would be maybe something they'd deliver during Gamescom or something. And that's, you know, again, my criticisms are there's some things that are a little half-baked around the edges. For example, when a challenge finishes, you can do these things called community challenges where you do a challenge, like let's say, how many cars can you dodge without crashing in the classic Atari 2600 game Enduro? You do a challenge like that, and then other people can challenge you as well in that. And then you do these gems, this microcurrency in the game that gets doled out proportionally depending on if you win or lose. So it does like cute little things like that. But the problem is the notification screen is completely broken. And so you go to this challenge screen, there's nothing there. You can't actually see how the challenge performed. You can tell that the code name for this game while they were developing it was Pleasantville, which I think is a clever little name if you think of the movie that came out, you know, out probably 20 years ago at this point. But the movie Pleasantville, you can tell that the client, because the name is still everywhere. If you take a screenshot in the client, it spits out and it's called Pleasantville and whatever the screen is. A permission screen will come up and it says Pleasantville, at least on PC. I've been playing mostly this on PC, not on a console. So there are some parts that feel a little like they're not fully yet. There's an achievement for tournaments, but I don't think the tournament system is in the game yet. But Antstream has tournaments, so I know how that's going to turn out. But and somebody had asked in chat earlier if I had Antstream. I used to. I actually kickstarted it, and I had it for like 2 or 3 years. And the only reason I let it lapse is that they never – no, that's how I know. So this was 2018 because they never updated the client to Xbox Series X. They did eventually, like a year or two ago, but I just never got back on the bandwagon. I never picked it back up. So I just never got back on Antstream. But that's not a bad thing. Like, I always thought it was kind of a neat little thing. But yeah, I mean, the cloud streaming is controversial, you know, whatever. But I think this is a nice little thing because you're not having to pay for it if you have Game Pass, which is what you're paying for, right? But it feels a little more like competing with maybe like the Nintendo Switch Online and that whole thing. Like, it feels a little bit more of a competitor for that as opposed to like being this thing that they're trying to charge money for. They want to add extra enhancements to why you're paying a monthly fee for Game Pass. And this is cute. If they actually lean into this and they do really release games every week or so from Microsoft's rich library, of which there's a lot, and maybe are able to partner up with some other people, this could be pretty fucking cool. Like, if Sierra is a part of this, hello, I can't wait for things like The Island of Dr. Brain and The Castle of Dr. Brain. Like, where are those games? I'm fucking excited. You think Leisure Suit Larry might ever be in there? I don't know. That might be a lot. But
I don't know about that. Willie Beamish already.
Yeah, Willie Beamish is in there. There's one space quest. There's one police quest. There's one, but there's no King's Quest yet. And maybe that, you know, there's probably some things they're pretty much sitting on. Pretty much what they have right now is the pretty rich Atari 2600 library. That is pretty much what's filling it out now. But there's room to grow. And I'm curious to see if maybe they even do things like Geometry Wars, like the OG. Maybe? I don't know. But that's a whole separate thing that you can buy now. I don't know. Dark Tetsuya in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I'm guessing Xbox felt left out on the retro stuff. Maybe a little bit. It's hard to say. But they wanted to add value. And this is, I can't complain. I was already paying for Game Pass because of these other games that I'm playing on it. So this is just kind of a thing to sort of sweeten the pot. She-Hulk 10 says they will probably come out with Xbox 360 classics, 100 games. I don't know about that because a lot of those games they still sell on the marketplace if they're compatible with Xbox One and Series X. But maybe, especially as we start to go into the next generation of Xbox, I don't think that should necessarily be off the table. We'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean, I guess, you know, because I keep saying, why not? Microsoft wants to make money off of it. But at the same time, if they can make that money from Game Pass, then why wouldn't they? It'll be interesting. We'll see. All right. Well, let's talk about what other types of games we were playing this week in a segment we call How Was Your Gaming Week? Dark Sakura, we'll go back to you. I'm sure you want to talk about pinball and more. How was your gaming week?
Yeah, it was pretty eventful. I'm getting up my pictures so I can tell you what exactly I played because I took pictures of everything I played. Mm-hmm. So I started off with ABBA. It's not good.
Oh, that's so depressing to hear. It's my favorite band. It's my favorite.
Alien, however, was right next to it and it was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. It was the Ripley edition. And it was really good. Really good. I'm trying to get to the next pictures because I took a lot of pictures of the tables I super enjoyed. I sent you a bunch. I know that.
You did.
I played Dungeons & Dragons The Tyrant's Eye. It was super good. Super fun. I really enjoyed it. Someone had the phone booth from Bill & Ted there. It was great. I played Ninja Eclipse. That one was fun. Total Annihilation. I actually won Bellringer this year.
What's that?
It's like a kid's one where you just do one ball and you have to spin it around and get it in the center target to ring the bell.
That's cool.
I played X-Men. It was also really good. I played Heavy Metal Meltdown. It was all right. Played Baby Pac-Man. We didn't buy it. Firepower.
I was so tempted when you told me that.
Stranger Things. That actually is, it's a bit much for what it is. Last Action Hero was broken. That was a table that Dan and I used to play a lot at the old Godfather's Pizza in Atomos, because that's where I would drop off the deposit when I worked at GNC. Oktoberfest. That one, I actually enjoy Oktoberfest a lot more than I did the first time I played it. Of course, I played Foo Fighters, which is always awesome. I played Royal Rumble, which I hadn't played that one before, and it's a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I bought giant flippers. there was Hot Wheels. That one was pretty fun. Swords of Fury is always fun. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Whodunit, which I used to own. Iron Maiden, but the old Iron Maiden table, not the current one. It's like an old Stern. I played the 007 table that's themed around different movies.
Oh, I love that table.
Demolition Man. I just played a bunch of stuff. And of course, there was we brought Portal. It's a multimorphic, the P3, the modular tables. Of course, it's been in my garage for 2 weeks, and I got to play quite a bit of it. It's pretty fun. Of course, all the GLaDOS lines are taken from the game, but there's like a new personality core named Reggie, who's sort of like your narrator through the game. Loosely based on Wheatley, but not stupid. He's like what's the word I'm thinking of? Concierge wants to come to mind, but that's not the word I'm thinking of. Like, I don't know. Maybe I have to look it up again. But there's Reggie,
okay.
And I think it's funny. Like for the point scoring, like one of your point scores is money saved on toner, and then toner disposal fee, and it evens it out. That was pretty funny. Lots of fun testing. You have turret mode. I also attended a little seminar about like changing out units and some of the basics on the P3. And I learned that the P3 units, most of them have Twitch integration.
Oh, really?
So you can stream the video play field on your live streams. And that might become a thing down the line.
Wow, that's cool.
And some of the tables, like Weird Al, has sort of like like you can pay bits and hinder the game or help the player for some of the other ones. It's kind of interesting. So for other stuff that I played, of course, I started Clair Obscur, and it's pretty fun so far. But I'm trying to get my PS controller charged up because it's just not as much fun to play on a keyboard. I played, of course, played a bunch of Dead by Daylight. I played a lot with Nick yesterday, because he's doing a stream for a cause right now, raising money for charity.
Oh yeah, shout out to our pal Nick and Prince, who's doing that charity right now.
He's gonna, I think, have sleep time in a little bit. Napping is a good idea, and having your friends fill in for
you. Well, there's only so many ways you can, go all weekend long, right? Like, you have to have the help.
I think he's 2 days in.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I also played some Palia, and I played a lot of Mass Effect. I did the Vermeer mission last night, and of course, you know, Captain Cardboard got axed. And not a lot of people save Ashley, so that's also the other reason why I was saving her, is because I want to show more people that, you know, she learns. She actually starts learning from her experiences and becomes a better person.
There was some survey thing that BioWare did years ago. I think they put it out around the time the maybe the Legendary Edition. They said like 10% of people save Caden. So maybe the people in your bubble,
really?
But yeah, like 10% of people save Caden. It's really low. Like in some ways, huh. It's amazing that they even rendered what they did for Mass Effect 3. But I'm personally thankful they did.
Hmm. Well, anyway, that was that's pretty much it.
Okay. Let's go over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It was all right. It's just playing Minecraft as usual. I've been working a lot on trying to get my next episode out, but I have a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I have to do as part of this latest build, which is, you know, that legally distinct Cracker Barrel. So I do this thing, or at least I have been doing this thing for the last few shops they've been putting together. It's kind of a social experiment. I'll hide something for people to find. And it just keeps getting more and more elaborate as I put out more and more shops. And so now that this is like the fifth time I've done this. Yeah, it's gotten extremely elaborate at this point. So there's a lot of like custom artwork and stuff I'm working on behind the scenes that's all part of that, unfortunately, so it's slowing down the process. But they'll have fun when they figure out what it is. Other than that, I'm, you know, messing around a little bit with my Retroid Pocket Flip 2. So I've been meaning to like sit down and start Final Fantasy 6, but I just haven't had a chance to like have an extended period of time where I want to play it on there. It's funny though, like now that I have all these emulators on that little device, I'm like, man, I just wish I had this on my PC. That'd be so much easier for like some of these, because I play on my PC a lot more than I have this handheld, but it does come in handy a lot with like playing different games and things. But yeah, I may just have to create an identical setup on my PC as well. But yeah, I'm going to try to get into that. I've been just playing like arcade games, like going through like Metal Slug and the Contra arcade versions. I don't think I've ever played Contra in the arcade. And what else? What do they call that? There was one I used to play on the candy cabs at Arcade Infinity all the time. It's, I can't remember the name now. Not Gal's Panic, but it's... along those lines. It was like 3D and not, you know,
I can see the work, I can see the game in my head, but I don't know what it was called either.
Yeah, it's like go something, or like let's go something, or let's do this. I don't remember it. I could look it up, but you know, I don't want to right now. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun just like messing around like some of these random arcade games. I still need to fix my I never did get this with like when I set up MAME on my old like arcade cabinet and stuff like that. The using like the compressed hard drives and stuff along with those, the hard drive images, I still haven't quite figured out how to do that properly. So none of those games that I have that have those work right now. And some of those are the ones I really want to play, like Gauntlet Legends. And there's like some shmup games, San Francisco Rush, California Speed, like the old like late 90s, early 2000s racing games and stuff like that, I think would be a lot of fun to play, especially San Francisco Rush. All that stuff, just setting that up. So I'll probably have to look at those images and see. When you're talking about like ROM sets and MAME and stuff, it gets really complicated. Like, cause you could have the completely wrong set and it doesn't work. So we'll have to go back to the drawing board with some of those.
All right. Well, then if that's it for your gaming week, I'll talk about my gaming week. But honestly, it was pretty short and simple. I played a little bit of Final Fantasy XIV, a little bit of Diablo 4, but I think I'm kind of done with Diablo 4 for this season because it's just kind of run its course for me. I think it's supposed to be a short season anyway. There's a couple cosmetics left I want to get, but I mean, I don't think they should do the XP boosting events so early, because when it ends, then I'm like, well, I don't really want to play again until the XP is boosted, because you start to get to a certain Paragon level where it takes forever to level up and really see that movement with your character. And it's just like, you start to realize the size of your backlog. And as much as I love Diablo 4, I got some other games I got to play too. Little bit of Clair Obscur, still annoyed at the lack of a map, because I did that thing where I went into a map and I was like running around. I was like, oh, here's an exit. And I found a door. And then I ended up going out the way I came in. So that's annoying, but fine, whatever. I understand why that game gets all the critical acclaim it does. I just have this one little annoyance with it. That's all. I also was playing the shit out of the retro classics this week. And then there was one other game I started playing, and I'm cursing Dark Sakura in 20, 25 different languages, but this is probably what I get for introducing them to Dead by Daylight. Is now I have fallen down this rabbit hole of playing Palia.
Palia is great.
It just came out, and this was the catalyst. It just came out on PlayStation 5, and I think it's on Series X as well. But yeah, but I picked up. Well, that's why when you were playing the other night.
That means you do some of the fun stuff.
Yeah, and that was why I was like, I can't talk to you because I'm on the PS5 client. So it's, well, I mean, I can type. I have to type with my controller, which is no fun. But yeah, so that's where I started. And then, yeah, that's why I got some of those gifts. And I was like, oh, they sent me an arcade machine too. But I think it's because it's like a PlayStation Founders Pack or something. So yeah, I mean, so if you haven't played Palia, I mean, Dark Sakura streams it pretty often. And I know we've rated her after a show once.
You might be able to do some of the glitching, some of it.
Maybe, I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, it's one of those, like, I heard it Harvest Moon without the mandatory romancing, because there is romancing, but it's optional. But there's a lot of gardening and, you know, hunting and gathering. You're a caveman, basically. No, but you build a house. And, you know, I was all like, oh, I've got my little log cabin. I'm like, oh, it's like my little Animal Crossing, little hut there. And then Dark Sakura signed on, and I was like, oh, can I add you as a friend? And Dark Sakura said, yes, and come to my house. I have four of them. And I was like, oh, okay.
Four properties.
And then I go, oh, my God, houses. Palace. And I was like, Jesus Christ, how many trees have you chopped down to get this? But no, I was impressed. I was like, dang, you know, because I've watched you stream Palia before, but obviously a lot of it like went over my head. And now I'm like, now like kind of seeing it firsthand, I was like, dang, this took some work. But I see how you start to get some quality. Like I just got the watering can that now waters a radius instead of just one. And I was like, oh, this is how you can be more effective in a shorter amount of time. Like if this keeps getting better. And I think you tried to shoot me with some water gun. And I was like, oh, you must get like a garden hose or something that helps you garden a lot faster.
No, you just get to a wider range with your...
Okay.
With your but still. Water.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, though, I mean, it's very relaxing.
It is a very
chill.
It's like, well, Loki plays the shit out of Minecraft, and at its core, this game is not that much different from Minecraft, except you're not deconstructing and constructing in the same way, but it's still the same concepts of mine things and shoot cute little animals to cook them and those types
for your house.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same fucking concepts,
but you have to get the material to build it.
Yeah, or No Man's Sky in a way. This is just No Man's Sky not in space. I mean, you know, this is a whole genre. The crafting and gathering genre in games is bigger and bigger, and a lot of you have probably played some type of game that fell in this genre somewhere. But considering it's a free-to-play game, and I haven't felt the pressure to monetize yet, I don't know if that gets worse later on, but I haven't felt pressure to monetize. I'm enjoying
it's it. Really not. Yeah. Like, the only thing I did is I joined the Zeki Club. Because you get, like, points that you can use to redeem for stuff later on. And that's I think fine. So it's not a very big investment, and it's pretty fun.
Going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Fifth Dream says that cozy fantasy life game you mentioned here really recently apparently took off. Yes, I heard about that too. Apparently, Fantasy Life, the one that just came out like last week, already sold 500,000 copies. Pretty impressive. And I do want to get that game, but I'm kind of like, oh, we're like, what, 2 weeks from the Nintendo Switch 2? And so I'm like, should I drop $70 on a game that I know is going to get dropped in 2 weeks as soon as the Switch 2 is out and I catch up on all the Switch things I wanted to play? That's where I'm struggling right now. But I did enjoy Fantasy Life on the 3DS. And I, like, again, it's another kind of crafting gathering game. It's a different sort. But I'm tempted. I'm very tempted. But I'm like, if I can hold off 2 weeks and then fall down the Switch 2 hole for a little while. Then maybe I'll come back when Fantasy Life goes on sale for like 40, 50 bucks and I'll get up on that. And I know that's not nice to the developers to just wait for games to go on sale, but that's the reality of the $70 and $80 game. Like I'm just going to keep it real. Like, yes, of course I want to support developers. Of course I want to be, a consumer. And when I sit here and talk about layoffs suck and stuff, I want to still support developers wherever I can. But the reality is I have to pick and choose what I drop 70 bucks on. And when there's a free game over here that's like, come play me for a little bit, Palia, that's very similar in some ways to Fantasy Life, it's easy for me to say, oh, I'm gonna go play with that one for a little while, and then I'll come back and do it. Renmari68k in chat says, to be fair to you, Rob, the problem is that for the $70 to $80 games, a lot of the money ends up going to the CEO's pockets instead. I believe, as the kids say today, period. Anyway. That's it for my gaming week. Let's get into some more gaming news. Loki, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, we knew this was coming right after we even talked about it last week with the whole AI Fortnite Darth Vader thing.
Something similar? It didn't quite turn out the way I said it, but still a little bit.
It's not so SAG-AFTRA, filed a unfair labor practice charge against Epic Games and Llama Productions. This is not because they use the AI, it's because of how they went about the process of using the AI, I guess. So it says, we celebrate the right of our members and their estates to control the use of their digital replicas and welcome the use of new technologies to allow new generations to share in the enjoyment of those legacies and renowned roles. However, we must protect our right to bargain terms and conditions around the use of voice that replaced the work of our members, including those who previously did work of matching Darth Vader's iconic rhythm and tone in video games. That basically they said that Epic and Llama Productions chose to replace the work of human performers with AI, and did so without providing any notice of their intent to do this, without allowing the unions to bargain over fair terms. So
this is an interesting angle. It's one of those things where I didn't think of it last week because I said that this was just giving the Darth Vader using all the slurs in Fortnite games. That's just giving SAG-AFTRA the ammunition to revoke the James Earl Jones permission things and reevaluate that. But I didn't think, by them doing this in the first place, technically they're violating union agreements because I just want to reiterate what you said. They're allowing AI to do a job that should have gone to a Darth Vader successor, basically. You know how when voice actors pass away or decide to move on? Charles Martinet, for example. He didn't pass away. Thank God we still have him among us. But he retired, whether it was his choice or not. He retired from that. And now we have a successor, Mario, that was invited to do that. That's what's supposed to happen in these union things. They're saying...
Except, I will point out one thing. James Earl Jones himself...
He gave
the permission.
He did, but that doesn't change the union, because the union says you have to go. You're letting AI do the job of somebody else that could do it. That's a union agreement thing. So, and I, we were talking a little bit about this last week, but yeah, I'm aware James Earl Jones' estate has the permission, all that, but I wonder what they're going to think when they see those TikToks of him using slurs, which they were able to do within 10 minutes of that feature going live. I wonder if they're still going to feel that way. So, and the last week, I know you weren't here, Jim, but last week I had said, that's going to show up in court. SAG-AFTRA is going to take that footage, take it to a courtroom and say, this should be revoked. James Earl Jones and his estate never would have agreed to this if they saw this is what was going to become of it, and fight it that way. I thought that's what was going to happen. But
the managers of his estate, have they weighed in on it?
We don't know yet. No, apparently not. We haven't heard anything yet. So I don't know. But I mean, like that news, that Vader Avatar dropped what, Thursday or Friday? We did our show Sunday. Yeah. This court case dropped Monday. So I was like, dang. So SAG-AFTRA basically,
ready to go.
Yeah, they found like they found a side door. This is what this is a side door, basically, is that, they went around the unions this way, whether they had permission or not.
And I wouldn't necessarily say that this is going to be like they're going to stop stuff from happening because of this instance. However, to go back to what Rob said before, yes, absolutely, this is going to be used in any sort of negotiation down the road where they're like, you know, we'll tastefully use your voice. Be like, James Earl Jones, classic actor, iconic voice, and you have him saying slurs and shit. You know, clearly that type of, you know, care and, you know, emphasis on trying to make it realistic and family friendly within Fortnite, you are cutting so many corners, you might as well have just a goddamn circle there, because this is certainly not what the estate of the Jones estate would be like. Yeah, we're cool with that. You know, James used to throw the slurs around all the time. Like, I'm sorry. No, nor is Disney going to be excited about this.
Well, this is what I was going back to about the estate and their statements and then the permission granted, is because I'm glad that this is out there. I want it to be an example.
Yeah. And
I want this to be a very big example.
And I'm going to say that my opinion, because I'm going to say something very strong, so I'm going to very clearly say this is my opinion. My opinion is that James Earl Jones' estate was presented this agreement under false pretenses. That they were told about it's the movies and it's going to keep his legacy alive in the films and allow his performance to be experienced by new generations. And this part was never explained. That's my opinion, that this part was never explained. And now here we are. So it's like, we could do all this other dirty shit too now that we have the sign on the dotted line. So that's my opinion, is that they agreed to this under false pretenses and now we're seeing the side effect of that. So, what else was I going to say with the whole, a reminder again, SAG-AFTRA is still striking with video game companies who won't fucking agree to the terms, and AI continues to be a sticking point. And this should end that argument from the game companies. And the actors have every right to protect themselves from this. So just a reminder, SAG-AFTRA is still striking. Anyway, let's move on to more stories, shall we? Let's talk about something. This might be a little bit positive. We like to see games go multi-platform, and probably not a huge surprise to hear that Microsoft is looking at porting more of their games, and it'll be to the Nintendo Switch 2, which is out pretty soon. This is apparently a little leak that came out courtesy of The Verge and Tom Warren in talking with an article about Microsoft and some of this ports. Apparently, Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga is currently on the list of games that are going to be ported to the Nintendo Switch 2. It's coming out for the PlayStation 5, as we know, but apparently there's a number of games that are going to be worked on for the Switch 2. We don't know exactly what games yet, but, you know, I like, hello, Sea of Thieves seems so obvious. Haven't they already announced that one? Like, if they haven't...
Sea of Thieves is already on the Switch, isn't it?
I think it is. Okay, yeah, then it is. I was like, there's some games that are just so obvious, but how cool would it be? Now, okay, so hear me out, folks. There's been a lot of people that are like, Nintendo Switch needs to have like a Game Pass app that would let you play Game Pass games on your Nintendo Switch. What if, I don't think y'all are right. I don't think it happens that way, but what about the Retro Classics app now? What about Antstream? And what about maybe that being the reason why this needed to come out now, 2 weeks before the Switch 2 comes out, because maybe Microsoft is going to put specifically the Retro Classics app on the Switch 2. Granted, you'll be tied to cloud-based services, so don't get too excited. You're not going to be able to take those games truly portable. It'll require an internet connection, but you could still log in and play those, you know, sitting on your couch or in your bed or whatever around your house on a portable device. I could see that happening.
I mean, at that point, they might as well just do like a Activision classic collection or something like that sell it. Like, I don't know. I mean, sure, it's a possibility. I mean, just, I don't know.
Yeah. Anything's possible if you think about it, but yeah. I'd be curious to see what develops with that. So, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Oh, just stuff. Nintendo, as we know, had been absent from the last Gamescom. They made an announcement that they will be there in Germany. They did a post on their German language social media account that said that they will be on the show floor. There's a chance there might be a Switch 2 Direct. Who knows? But there's also stuff about Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. There could be Pokemon Legends, so we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that they're going to do Gamescom because they have more to show now. Like last year, you know, the Switch was kind of ramping down, and now with the Switch 2 ramping up, it makes sense they want to get that in people's hands on the show floor and, you know, get more hype going for it. So I can't say I'm surprised to hear this. It's nice to see them back, but I would like to see them do a Nintendo Direct. I think we all would, to really hear what the plan is through the holiday and all that. But whether that's Gamescom or, you know, Keighley versus Summer Game Fest, but those... Well, no, because Gamescom's going to be a little later, right? Gamescom's is more August. So, but it could happen at either one. I think Nintendo does make at least one big announcement at Summer Game Fest. I don't know if it's as big as their holiday game, but I think they're going to announce something. I think that's an easy prediction to make. Nintendo announces something for Switch 2 at Keighley Fest because they've done it before. So, yeah, August is Gamescom. So we'll see. August, I mean, with the recent timetable of Nintendo kind of announcing things just a couple months before they come out, August does seem to be a more likely time frame for them to announce something for the holiday. But August would also be a great time for them to maybe start pushing something a little harder like Metroid Prime 4 now that Mario Kart World will be 2 months old at that point. And the Donkey Kong game will be out as well. Gamescom allows them to set the stage for the other upcoming games. So we'll see. All right, moving on. Wow, SG100 Matt says Summer Game Fest is June 6th. That's the same day as the Switch 2 release. Yep. I did not realize it was the same day.
It's the day after. Switch 2 releases the 5th.
Oh, I thought it was the 6th for some reason. Okay, but still interesting.
They're being weird doing it on Thursday.
They're right on top of each other. That's still interesting. So, all right. Well, let's move on. This is definitely a story that's raising eyebrows, right, Loki?
Well, I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, there was a very famous instance of AI artwork in Call of Duty Zombies, and, you know, they insisted, no, it's real art, and then it came out that it was AI art. But now, Dark Outlaw Games, which is a PlayStation studio run by Jason Blundell, who was basically known for developing the Call of Duty Black Ops Zombie mode, is now they're listing for a senior concept artist to join their LA studio. And it says, reporting to their art director, the ideal candidate is proactive with strong skills in digital illustration, 3D modeling, character design, graphic design, experience with generative AI tools, and passion about making games. They also require advanced expertise in using generative AI tools such as Stable Diffusion, Midjourney, ChatGPT, and similar platforms, as well as refining and polishing 2D artwork created by both human artists and generative AI tools. So yes, they are using generative AI tools in the sense to, it sounds like, replace concept artists, or at least, you know, get a start on concept art stuff. It's gross. But it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Apologies for the error in the sidebar. It should say Call of Duty former dev speaking AI specialist. But anyway, still knowing that, you know, this is coming to it's not like this last time we're going to see something like this. Right.
Yeah, it's still a studio that's run by Sony. So, it's not Call of Duty dev in the sense that they're working on Call of Duty right now. But. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot of this, and I think studios using AI. I think it's depending on how apparent that is in the final product. Because if it's being used to replace, like, artists in the sense of like the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Definitive Edition, where they just said, okay, we're just going to throw all the textures through AI and like have it upscale everything done, you know, without any sort of like editorial checking or making sure that everything is correct. Using it not as a tool, but as a way to just do all the work for you, essentially.
AI is not a replacement. It is a tool. That's what this should be. AI should not be replacing art. AI can sometimes be a tool with art. Just, you know, it's weird, though. They call all this shit AI now that isn't necessarily AI.
Large language models.
You know, but I will admit, I was working on a graphic the other day, and I was using Adobe, what's their web-based thing, Spark, or whatever it's called, to do it. And there's a thing where it's like, AI remove background. And I was like, well, let me see how good of a job this does. Oh, okay. And I removed
the
background from my own photo, and I was like, okay, perfect. That's what I need, a tool. But at the end of the day, it was my own art, you know? But I think when we use it to replace stuff, that's where it gets cringe, because AI art is very cringe.
I mean, it's getting better always, but like, have you seen like the Google's VO3 stuff where it's generating like video, and they have now the actors can dialogue or have dialogue with each other.
That stuff is wild.
They trained it on YouTube videos and TV. And so like, they're like, oh, look, we can replace YouTubers with AI generated crap. And it's not good, but it's very convincing. Like, it's certainly, if you're not paying attention, and certainly there's a large swath of the population that aren't paying attention.
I know. There is a large swath of the population too stupid to understand, to critically think, and will buy this shit at face value. There are a lot of people out there uneducated on how to spot AI, and this will absolutely be weaponized. Absolutely. They already are trying 100%. To do it. And
they've been doing it.
This shit needs to come to a legal head. Like that, like how the fact that it's training off of all of YouTube or whatever, did they get permission from YouTubers to do it? No, I'm sure they snuck it into the agreement or whatever. For you to be using YouTube, you have to opt out.
But right now you have to opt out for all new videos, but I think you have to do that with your old videos too. But essentially, I think the training's already been done. By the time they ask you to opt out, they've already trained their models on that stuff. Like, I'm sorry. It's more of like a, you know, making you feel better. Like, you know, that is the equivalent, I feel, of like that posting on Facebook. I don't give you permission to steal my data, you know. Like,
yes.
It's absolutely useless.
You bring up an excellent point. People are stupid enough to think that does anything. There's a lot of people, probably in your family, that think that that's going to do something. Aren't you worried what they're going to believe in these videos?
It's just that generation, too, I think, because, like, think back. Like, even way before the AI stuff and way before social media, what was it that we would get? You would get grandpa forwarding you those email forwards, you know, saying you got to type this in here and then Bill Gates will send you $1 million or something like that. And forward it to 5 of your friends. Like, that bullshit was around like back in the late 90s and shit, when the internet was first becoming publicly available to everything. So it's only going to get worse from here, in the sense of like using it to manipulate the masses into believing stuff, or in the case of showing a real video and going, no, that's AI. I didn't do that. That's AI. Someone generated that with AI. And you'd be like, well, I can't tell because AI does look realistic. So I don't know. Plausible deniability.
All I have to say is that this AI stuff, it's just, okay, let me tell this one quick story, then we'll move on to this thing. So my understanding is there's an app out there called Grindr, and either you know what that is or you don't, okay? But there is an app out there called Grindr, and now that app, as I understand, when you log into that app, it will actually ask you for permissions to use AI. For what? For what does that app need AI for? And I guess it wants to train off to make fake people to play into. I mean, let me tell you, my understanding is there's plenty of fake people already on Grindr.
And all the other dating apps.
So, what, I mean, When Grindr is asking permission to use AI, I think we all need to sit here and ask ourselves, what have we done? Let's move on to our next story.
Please.
Let's talk about Konami. Konami, we always like to joke about pachinko being the one and only, you know, Konami thing that makes money anymore. But actually, their arcade division's doing pretty well for itself. I think we know a lot of fans out there still. The Bomani series, DDR, is still going strong. I could say having a renaissance, but it's going strong again all these years later and, you know, similar music games. Well, now Konami is going to be establishing a new subsidiary called Konami Arcade Games, which will purely be about that DDR and music games and all their other arcade offerings as well, for that side of things. Previously, this was Konami Amusements, but that was also pachinko. So the pachinko and the arcade halves have divided. Yeah, that's all going to be changing. So Konami Arcade Games will be established June 2nd and become effective as of October 1st. Konami Arcade Games will assume all assets, contracts, liabilities, and other obligations related to the arcade game business of Konami Amusement. Yoshitaka Nishimura, who is composer in several Bomani rhythm games. Is that the Taka? Yoshitaka? Anyway.
No.
He's the composer of several Konami Bomani rhythm games as its representative director and president. So that'll be interesting. So, I guess if you're a Konami music game fan, which we still are at heart, DJ Yoshitaka, says Renmari68, is the actual musician there. So that's really cool. All right. So we'll see. That's a very, very welcoming sort of news. I'm sure if you're still playing music games all these years later, which a lot of people are, especially as round ones continue to grow, other arcades, a lot of you have been talking about arcades this week, like new ones opening up, different, really exciting stuff for that. Dark Tetsuya says Gold Rush was one of the songs that Yoshitaka did. Oh, I know that one. I know that one. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, Sega has, of course, been introducing the Shinobi Art of Vengeance, and they say that if it does well, and this is from an interview with Sega's content production department, the head, I think, is Shimomura Kagase, talk about, I just completely lost my train of thought. They're saying that if this does well, that they are planning on reviving the Shinobi license for, they say that if, the franchise, they say that they could experience a sustained revival that sees it retake a place of prominence among Sega's IPs. That's a quote. Hmm. So, you know, another thing that says is that we do think that IPs are supposed to evolve and expand, and really do feel strongly about our Shinobi IP and want to take care of it and nurture it. Maybe there might be a Vengeance 2 somewhere along the road. This is obviously nothing that's planned right now, but it really depends on how we can nurture the IP in the future. Now the IP is going to grow, but we definitely do want to grow it.
Interesting.
It looks good. I was thinking of grabbing the limited run.
All right. Yeah, I might want to check that out too. You know, my backlog just grows and grows, but I do have a soft spot in my heart for Shinobi. Let's move on to another game I'm excited about, Loki.
Yep, Mario Kart World, just right around the corner. And of course, it's fun hearing about these, you know, what goes into the development of the game. Obviously, Mario Kart World was something that they were attempting to release on the Switch, but it just was not possible. They had tried to even, reduce the frame rate, the detail, all that stuff. It just wasn't able to run on that system. We worked on Mario Kart World while kicking the can down the road in terms of deciding what to give up on. So at some point we knew it was going to get messy, but as we decided to release Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass instead, we thought that that would give us a bit more time to continue development. And so they did. And now they have the Nintendo Switch 2 to play the game on.
I wondered why there was never a Mario Kart game on Switch. Like, you know, because Mario Kart 8 was a Wii U game that was ported. Mm-hmm. So I wondered why there never was one, but this kind of answers it. There was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why this one is coming out so soon, right? It's a launch game for Switch 2, which is, it kind of all adds up now.
Yeah, so when we were developing for the Switch system, it became difficult to incorporate everything we wanted. So we were always conscious of what we're giving up in return. We discussed things like toning down the visuals, lowering the resolution. We even considered dropping the frame rate to 30 FPS in some cases. It was a tough situation. So, yeah, I can give that.
Well, I'm still excited to check out Mario Kart World. I understand the price tag sucks, but, you know, having the Switch bundle helps, you know, alleviate that a little bit.
A little bit.
So, yeah. But I'm looking forward to revisiting the Switch games, you know, especially as we were talking about, I don't know, last week or the week before, the fact that, you know, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is going to get like performance upgrades.
Free.
Thank yeah. God, because it needs it. So I'm really excited. I wish Pokemon Legends was getting that too. But at least there's a new Pokemon Legends game to look forward to later in the year. So I'm just excited to revisit old Switch shit that's being updued for the Switch too. Because, yeah, it's gonna be great. All right. Let's move on and talk about another part of the Switch 2, which, you know, one of the things that excites me a little bit is the mouse support. And I talked about that. I kind of think this is kind of one of those secret killer features of Switch 2 is that it's going to allow this control scheme that brings us the best of keyboard and controller and keyboard and mouse and the best of controller into a mouse and controller. I guess there's no keyboard and controller setup, but a mouse and controller type of setup, which I think is pretty cool. Some Switch 2 games, it's being reported, will allow you to plug in a USB mouse. So you don't even have to use the, you know, the Joy-Con turned on its side if you're worried that that's not going to be responsive or good enough. Apparently, some Switch 2 games, you can just plug a USB mouse in. So apparently... this was something that was being spotted around social media. Koei Tecmo put up an official gameplay stream of Nobunaga's Ambition Awakening CE running on the Switch 2. And the producer, Michi Ryu, into the demo actually took out a USB mouse and started playing the game with the USB mouse. So that's great. I hope it works with the Bluetooth mouse too. Wouldn't that be something? But this is going to be like a game changer for something like Civ 7. Like that, this is how I want to play Civ 7. This is how I want to play Metroid Prime. 100%. I really hope Nintendo is embracing this for Metroid Prime 4. I have no doubt the Joy-Con thing will be it, but man, if they let you use a USB or even a Bluetooth mouse, like I think it's a real significant game changer. Yeah, Questbuster in chat says, mouse users rise up. Even something like Palia will be great. Because
it does have mouse support, I think.
Even on consoles?
I think so. I don't know.
Interesting. So yeah, I'm very curious. Well, and then the Overwatches of the world or the Marvel Rivals will be great with that as well. So yeah, I'm very curious to see how this goes. Yeah, SJ100 Matt in chat says, yeah, FPS games will be great with a mouse. Questbuster says, mouse users rise up. Heck yeah. I wonder if it would work with a USB trackball for those that prefer a trackball. I don't see why not. Don't a lot of systems sort of treat them as Mises? I think. Be interesting. SJ100 Matt says, though, to be clear, the Switch 1 did have some mouse and keyboard support, but not a ton of things supported. Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, on the PlayStation 4, you can play, like, Final Fantasy 14 will take a keyboard and mouse, and you can play that control and all that, but it's not very well advertised. It's not in a lot of games. And you know, they have to go out of their way to support it. And Xbox is supported in very few games, all things considered. All right, well, let's go back to a simpler time. And I was going to say a time before mouses and all that took over the world, but that wouldn't be true for this pick because a classic game is 10 years older or more. And well, we're going to run the bumper and then Darksoccer is going to tell you what she picked for this week.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, y'all. Are you ready to feel old? Are you ready to feel old? Because this week's pick's going to do it. Dark Sakura, what is our 10 years old or more classic game of the week this week?
Splatoon. Yes, Splatoon is pretty much dead on 10 years old. The game came out in 2015 on the Wii U. It is a third-person shooter game where you play as beings called Inklings that are cephalopodic life forms that can go between cephalopod forms and humanoid forms, and they get into big turf wars with colors. There you go. It was developed by Nintendo Entertainment Analysis and Development Division, and it started with an idea of a competitive multiplayer ink-based territory control game, and then they expanded into squids and swimming through the ink. And the concept was created by their lead programmer, Sato Shintaro, who had worked previously on Animal Crossing. And the team was mostly younger Nintendo employees, compared to most of their other staff. And so the game spawned a whole, series. So going back into this, so your team has a color, and you have to pretty much cover the other color and then shoot the other people. Your own ink makes it faster for you to go through, but enemy ink is slower to walk through in humanoid form, and you cannot swim through it as a squid, and it can actually hurt you. So you try to use your ink to splat your opponents, which will send them back to their starting point. And so in all of the modes except for the two-player mode, you can use your Wii U gamepad to view a map of your surroundings and launch towards locations of another teammate, and you can use gyroscopic controls to assist in aiming. And so you go into your match with your primary ink weapon, and you can get a secondary weapon like ink balloons and sprinklers and disruptive fields, and you basically just keep going in and covering it up. The game does support the Splatoon amiibo, which each of them will unlock different missions and extra equipment and clothes and a bonus mini game. And, more ways to make money. And you had the ability to make posts to the game's Miiverse community, and you would see those as graffiti on buildings in the game. There was multiplayer, which was a regular and ranked game. Four different rule sets. You had Turf War, Splat Zones, Tower Control, and Rainmaker, which was Capture the Flag style. On April 8th, 2024, online multiplayer was discontinued because of the shutdown of all online services for Wii U games. Battle Dojo local multiplayer mode, you can do like balloon popping. You can use a Wii U Pro controller, or Wii Classic controller, or the Wii U gamepad. A controller and Wii remote could do it as well. Then there were the Splatfests, which was like a big multiplayer game where you could choose between one of two teams and earn points and goodies and things like that. And then there was the campaign mode. Octo Valley is the single-player campaign, and you are recruited by a veteran and the leader of Squid Beak's platoon, Captain Cuttlefish, to rescue the great Zapfish. So, now, as for development, in mid-2013, one of the members of the Animal Crossing development teams, which is Sato Shintaro, created a 4v4 ink-based territory control game in like this big featureless arena. And management liked the prototypes. They approved it being made into a full game, and the team just kept going into it. And it even, it had so many ideas that developers were having some trouble filtering it down to be simple and fun. That's from Miyamoto saying that there was no appeal to the game in that state. And so they kept narrowing it down and working on things, and finally just got something simple that would work. So as far as when it was released, there was a time-limited multiplayer demo known as Global Test Fire, held on May 8th and 9th, 2015, and 1 2-hour block on May 23rd, 2015. On May 15th, on the Santa Monica Pier, Nintendo held a special event called the Splatoon Mess Fest with celebrities and an obstacle course inspired by the game. You could play a demo at the event. And there was a collaboration with Anbei Masahiro's Squid Girl manga, and including in-game costumes. There were different outfits available in the Nintendo 3DS title Girls Mode 3, Kira Kira Star Code. And there was Splatoon Frozen Yogurt in Canada at Yogurty. All kinds of stuff. Nintendo UK worked with Adrenaline Alley Skate Park to decorate in decals. And there was fan art, Miiverse, and Twitter. All kinds of stuff. And so the Wii U Deluxe set was bundled with Splatoon in North America at Best Buy. You got a coupon for a digital copy in Australia, Europe, and New Zealand on a physical disc. You had the Amiibo released alongside the game, which was Boy and Girl Inkling. And then there were two in-game pop idols, Callie and Marie, known as the Squid Sisters. They had Amiibo. You could use, you know, the if you pre-ordered the game at GameStop, you got a download voucher for a Splatoon-themed Mii costumes to use in Super Smash Brothers. So, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, lots of stuff. They really, really, really promoted it. And so to skip past a lot of that, going into the well, actually, there was that thing about online play in 2023 that there was a vulnerability with that Mario Kart 8. And then they fixed it and resumed everything. And then they ended the services for Wii U. So moving forward, it was very well received. People were surprised that Nintendo was doing a shooter IP, but they thought it was unique and fun. It got an 81 out of 100 on Metacritic based on 88 reviews. GamesRadar gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Destructoid gave it an 8.5, and they said that there were some shortcomings, but they could be overlooked because of, quote, how damn fun the game is, end quote. And I think that's the important part. You know, a lot of people really enjoyed that sort of 90s cartoon aesthetic. It even gave it some comparisons to Jesset Radio and Da Blob. And it was great that it was ink-based and not all bloody and gross. Splatoon debuted at number 2 in the UK software sales chart, only behind Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. It was Nintendo's, it was the 5th fastest selling Wii U title and fastest selling new IP on the console. And it beat the previous record set by Ubisoft's Zombie U. It debuted at the top of the Japanese software sales. In the US, there were 165,000 combined physical and downloaded copies sold in May 2015. It really has just been like one of the big ones. And it was then announced in May 2016 that Splatoon was the most successful new home console IP in Japan since Wii Sports. And the soundtrack actually even debuted at number 2 on Billboard Japan's Hot Albums chart and number 46 on the chart's 2015 year-end list. It's won Games, British Academy Children's Awards, Best Nintendo Game for the 33rd Golden Joystick Award, Best Multiplayer, Best Shooter for the Game Awards, Most Promising New Intellectual Property for the South by Southwest Gaming Awards, and Japan Game Awards won Game of the Year. There has been the Art of Splatoon book released, toy water guns based off of the ink guns, virtual concerts with the Squid Sisters. They were there as holograms on the Tokaigi 2016 Makuhari Mess in January, and then at Japan Expo. And Nico Nico Cho Party in November. There's manga written and illustrated by Hinodea Sankichi that's been serialized in Besatsu Koto Koto Comic, and actually it's even been re-released in English by Viz Media. Koto Koto Comic gave free access to the entire series from limited time from June 22nd to July 13th, 2018. And there you go. Splatoon.
All right. There's your, I can't believe this is 10 years old, pick of the week. Looking in some comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, I saw some comments earlier on that were kind of talking about how a future Splatoon, yeah, Dark Tasia says, if they fix those issues for a Splatoon 4 and implemented the mouse controls, I might be convinced to dive back in. Ooh, this is a very appropriately timed pick after that story about Nintendo Mouse, because yeah, getting mouse control in this game, holy shit, that would be a game changer for me. I would love to play it. And SJ 100 Matt had mentioned the Splatfests were fun. While it was just a silly social media thing, it was pretty smart and got folks coming back to it for the polls. Yeah, back when Twitter was fun, you know, 10 years ago, and there was those Splatfests. But I will
back
say,
back when Twitter was Twitter.
Yeah. RinMari68K says, if Mayo wins, I'll throw my Switch in a lake. Oh, God. That ketchup Mayo fight, that made me physically ill.
Ketchup is gross.
But y'all know how I feel about mayonnaise. It was like made me physically ill to see those matches, so I couldn't do it. But I did appreciate how fun
like
those
that was, like Final Fantasy Online or something like that. Hmm. Like I sort of remember like some sort of team based thing or something.
Final Fantasy Online, like they
a thing?
They did the there was their version of like Monster Hunter. That was what did they call? I can't remember the name of that game, but it was a DS game. Final Fantasy Explorers, maybe, was what it was called.
Yeah, I just thought that they did something like, you know, where you had to do like achieve a certain thing, and they had like different teams based off of your like, maybe I'm thinking of the like factions and how you had the different factions and you competed.
Yeah,
you got perks if you did that. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got some other news to cover here, so let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
Great. Another movie announcement. So The Elden Ring is being adapted for a movie, and this is going to be coming by through A24. And they announced that they're working with Alex Garland, who did Civil War and Ex Machina. And yeah, good Lord, I have no idea when or what this will even be. It'll be cool.
Yeah, we'll see when it comes out. I mean, there's like that, or is that multiplayer Elden Ring or whatever it is? There's like an Elden Ring spinoff that's coming out like in the next couple weeks. So very appropriately timed, I guess. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Elden Ring's popular enough and has that, you know, George R. R. Martin backing, you know, name in it too, that I think the movie will be well received. And yet again, you know, video game conversions are all the rage right now. I believe Last of Us finale for season 2 is tonight. So, you know, there's a lot going on with video game properties. So I can't say I'm shocked to hear Elden Ring's becoming a movie.
I was going to mention really quick, this is a kind of a little bit of last minute story type thing, but confusing to say the least. So Michael Bay has, of course, is allegedly, of course, tied to the Skibidi Toilet movie.
Yes, I heard this too.
So, no, hold on. This doesn't make any sense when you think about it, okay? So, he released a reel today saying, hey, you guys, you've been saying that, you know, I'm involved or directing the Skibidi Toilet movie. I'm doing no such thing. Mind you, his previous two reels were teasers for the Skibidi Toilet movie. So, I don't know. You are saying one thing, but then also saying another thing. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you, sir. I believe that you are working on it, but we're going to... you're not directing
an AI.
No, he is not directing it. He's probably playing another role with it, but like, you don't put a teaser out for the movie or like a piece of artwork for the movie, and then the next day go, what are you guys talking about?
So badly. I'm not...
It's not. It's going to be amazing.
I want it to tank.
It's going to be so bad. I can't wait.
I just don't
I cannot
it
wait.
To fail so hard.
All right. Let's go on to our next story. Darsagra.
I'm also going to counteract what Pod Culture said real quick. Misery shared is halved. No, it's doubled. Anyway. I keep hitting my sound thing on my Stream Deck by accident, so I keep hearing the Cisco Hold music at different intervals, and it's very distracting. Game Boy stuff. How about for Nintendo Switch Game Boy stuff? They are adding Gradius, Interstellar Assault, Kirby Star Stacker, Survival Kids, and the Sword of Hope. How's that? You are, I mean, the Gradius game is, it's an interesting Gradius game. It's you have a dual scrolling battlefield and 3D effects and blah blah, all the stuff. Kirby Star Stacker is a puzzle game. You do have a versus mode. Survival Kids is, I mean, you have to create tools and hunt and, you know, very Lord of the Flies. And then Sword of Hope, where it's an RPG. There you go.
Yeah, they made the font just like Secret of Mana to make people think it was that game. Sorry for the little Switch noise that came through, but I'm playing some B-roll for our folks that are watching live of some of these games. I'm pretty sure I played this Gradius game on Game Boy. I mean, it was a game.
Sure.
It was a Game Boy Gradius game. That's that's what I could say about it. But it wasn't bad. It's just, you know, the Game Boy in general was just so limited, right?
Remember,
so.
Rob?
Hmm.
Beat up.
Anyway,
action.
But I would say that Sword of Hope, nothing like Secret of Mana, even though they tried to jack the box art like looking thing. So, but sure, yeah. It's an
don't be fooled.
It's an interesting relic of its era. We'll leave it at that. I'd
don't
say
be fooled.
It's more of a wizardry inspired game from the looks of it. So. Anyway, well, speaking of things on the Nintendo Switch Online front, let's talk about some limited Nintendo Classic Icons. By the way, you know, y'all know I love Pikmin Bloom, and I've been going hard in that game too. And right now, they have Nintendo Classic Pikmin in that game right now, and I finally finished the set this week. Thank you very much. But if you aren't a player of that game, you can celebrate Classic Nintendo in another way. There are Switch user profile icons available until the 27th of May, so you don't have much time left. That's the first wave of icons where you can make yourself a classic NES controller or a Famicom controller or a Nintendo 64 controller. And then through the coming weeks, you can do other interesting controllers. But a lot of folks have noticed that wave three that starts June 3rd through June 10th offers a Famicom, a Super Famicom, a GameCube, and a Nintendo Super Nintendo mouse is in there too. And it's like, since when does the Switch acknowledge the mouse? And leads a lot of people to infer some things, but still, the user icons are cute if that's something you want to get in on. So check that out. Meanwhile, let's check out what's coming out this week in world release dates. Loki.
All right. So coming out in the US, we've got Despera Drops on PC, Odd Sparks, an Automation Adventure coming out of Early Access on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. RoboQuest on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. We have Pipistrello and the Cursed Yo-Yo on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. To a T on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. I really want to play that one. We have, Koneru Dimension Girl on PC and Nintendo Switch. Fuga Melodies of Steel 3 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Scar Lead Salvation on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. We have Shikondo Yokai Rampage on Nintendo Switch.
And for those
Spray Paint Simulator on
So I'm sorry, we just had a little bit of a hiccup for those that are watching live. That was just a blip on Discord, the joys of doing virtual things. So we just had a brief pause there, but you can continue, Loki. Sorry.
Okay. Spray Paint Simulator on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Steam Hearts and Advanced Variable Geo Saturn Tribute, PC, Nintendo Switch,
oh, nice.
PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Actually, that might be for Japan. We'll have to wait a little longer to get that one. Disney Illusion Island on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Elden Ring Night Rain on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Eternal Evil on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series. F1 25 on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. And last but not least, Hypercharge Unboxed on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
All
That's
right.
it.
Let's go to Japan. There's a fuck ton of releases this week in Japan. Starting with the Switch, we have Fuga Melodies of Steel is out on the Nintendo Switch. Sonic Wings Reunion in a regular and limited edition out on the 29th of May. Along with From Madness with Love is out on the Nintendo Switch as well. Byakko, Shijin, Butai, and Renki is out in a regular and special edition. The Fuga Melodies of Steel is also getting a 2 and a 3 all out this week. You can get a Trilogy Steel Box if you like as well, all out on the 29th. Shikihando Yokai Rampage in a regular and limited edition, also out on the Switch this week. Sonohi no Kemono Niwa is also out in a regular and limited edition this week. And Steam Hearts and Advanced Variable Geo Saturn Tribute, which Loki was mentioning a minute ago and Dark Sakura was celebrating, is also out in a regular and, you guessed it, special edition. That's coming out. It is the sexy sci-fi vertical scrolling shooter all over again. Oh boy, can't wait to play that. Let's see, and what else is out this week? Staffer Case, a supernatural mystery adventure, also out in Japan. Gloom and Doom, also releasing on the Switch this week. Lego's latest entry in a young adult book series I don't like to talk about is also out this week on the 29th. Lunark is also out this week on the 29th. And Shadow Corridor 2 also out. That's just the fucking Switch. Let's see which of those games are coming out on the PlayStation 5. Probably less, but we do have Sonic Wings Reunion is out on PlayStation 5, as well as Scar Led Salvation, the Steam Heart and Advanced Variable Geo Saturn Tribute, Gloom and Doom also out, along with Newark and that Lego game are all out on PlayStation 5 this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, some stuff. We have Cosme Forbidden Forest for PC, PS5, and Switch on the 27th. On the 28th, To a T for PC. Puga Memories of Steel 3 on the 29th for PC. Elden Ring Night Rain, PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox. Scarlet Salvation, PC, PlayStation. Sonic Wings Reunion, PS4, PS5, PC, Switch. On the 30th, Lost Souls Aside, PS5, PC. My Father Lied for PC. And Rune Factory Guardians of Azuma for Switch.
Busy week around the world this week, and in just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, we got a brand new console coming out, so it must be summer. Good times. All right, well, we have one more. Speaking of that new console, we have one more story for you here, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable where we have one email tonight, so we'll go to Loki first.
Yes, Randy Pitchford, once again, opening his mouth and putting his foot inside.
Wow.
You know, he loves to do that. He's really right in touch of what the fans think mm-hmm. when it comes to games. So, of course, it's been asked of Randy Pitchford, hey, is Borderlands 4 going to be one of those $80 games when it comes out? And to which, you know, the response was, you know, it's one, it's not my call. But if you're a real fan, you'll find a way to make it happen.
The most non-answer telling answer ever.
My local store had Starflight for Sega Genesis for $80 in 1991 while I was just out of high school working a minimum wage at an ice cream parlor in Pismo Beach. And I found a way to make it happen.
He fell right into that fucking trap.
Yeah. Once again, I feel like it's, you know, goes without saying, and I'm sure you all know it, but I'm going to say it anyways, just in case if some reason you're like, hey, he's got a point there. A game that came out for the Sega Genesis was a complete game. There were no more parts of that game that you would be charged for later on down the road. It was the game that you got. You paid for it and all that stuff. Also, they had rental to go in, rental as well. There's rental price games as well at some point. But an $80 game back in 1991 is not the same as an $80 game, you know, in 2025. An $80 Borderlands 4 game will come out, but then there's also the $30 or $40 season pass, and then all this other DLC and all these other cosmetics and maybe an in-game currency. Who the hell knows what else on top of that you're going to be charged beyond the $80. $80 is the entry point into that game. It is not the full price of the game. Stop letting these CEOs and these companies try to convince you that, well, it's just, you know, it's just the inflation stuff. Might I remind you that your salaries haven't gone up at the same rate as the inflation has for this stuff. So they can go shove it up their ass. If they want, if people want to spend $80 on the game, good. But the expectation that, oh, I need to buy it day one for $80, guess what? This shit goes on sale all the fucking time. So no. No, you do not get $80 just because you're Borderlands 4.
Claire Obscure Expedition 33, which will undoubtedly be the game of the year. I think that's the most obvious thing I could say right now. Barring a huge holiday surprise, we don't know what Nintendo might pull out for the holidays, but barring a huge holiday surprise, it is very obvious that game will be game of the year. That is a $50 game. The industry just needs to sit and stare at that. All the CEOs just need to sit and stare at that for a little bit.
And then on top of that, let's just like, he tried to walk it back slightly because he unknowingly pointed out.
He didn't like the pull quotes.
He didn't know that the fans would call him out on that.
He didn't like the pull quotes, yeah.
It's like, so someone commented on X, you know, someone put a real fans tweet into a handsome Jack AI. Ooh boy, $80 for Borderlands 4. Let me break out the world's tiniest violin. Crafted from iridium and oiled with the tears of my whiny vault hunters. Listen, Cupcake, you're not buying a game, you're investing in it. And then Randy's like, oh, is that how I sound? Oh, in all seriousness, you know, nobody likes being taken for granted, but that was not my intent. Bullshit. It wasn't your intent. If you're a real fan of this, you're going to give us the full amount of money that we ask for. Fuck you.
Yeah. I want to also read this, then we'll move on. RinMari68 in chat says, as I said earlier, I'd be fine with the argument of games are getting more expensive due to inflation and paying the devs if I could be reassured that most of those $80 go to the people who actually made the fucking game. I said this once to one of their comments before, and I'm going to say it again. Period. I know we got an email tonight, I believe, from the same individual, right, Dark Sakura? Let's go to our listener roundtable. Yes. Participate at orangelandre.com is the place to send your emails.
Hello again, OLR crew. I just want to say thank you for reading and responding to my email from last week. It is Sunday as I write this, and assuming a meteor doesn't hit my house or whatever, I should be good to listen to tonight's episode. So GJ Ranma S says he's in Japan and was around Akihabara. I mentioned to him that he should visit Akihabara Hei, short for Hirose Entertainment Yard. It's a wonderful little arcade, more specifically a specialized branch of the Taito Station franchise, with a whole floor of retro arcade games and two entire rows of retro shmups, shoot 'em ups like Raiden, Gradius, Toho Project. And yes, I'm going to make myself feel old and say that cave games are retro at this point. I had visited Japan last November, and it was as excellent of an arcade as I expected. All of the shmup cabs have auto-fire buttons, which is great because I'm anti-American and dislike having to type the same button repeatedly and rapidly over the course of a 30-minute game. But I also wanted to bring up that this kind of retro arcade is becoming less and less common in Japan. Most arcades I saw were mostly price catcher games. According to a Famitsu article that interviewed one of the staff of Game Center Mikado, another retro arcade in Tokyo, well, there's three branches, and I visited two of them. Only about 30 arcades like this still exist in Japan. Of the big chain arcades that have more than UFO catcher games, usually they will have a ton of rhythm games, those weird gacha card games, video game Mahjong, and not much else for video games. At least, I played a ton of Chunibum, the rhythm game with a touch slider and an air sensor that you wave your hands through. To unlock a song that an acquaintance of mine made, La Symphony de Celestia Agony Movement. I think that's about my main arcade rhythm game at this point. I find this and Sega's other rhythm games, Mai Mai, Ongeki, more appealing at this point due to their well-refined mechanics, and they've basically been a competitor to Bemani for the last decade. I did get to play the newest Bemani game, Polaris Chord. It's sort of a cross between Chunibum and Sound Vortex. I thought it was a neat idea, but I really didn't like it had gacha elements too. I kind of wish I'd gotten to check out Japanese arcades maybe 20 or even 10 years ago. They're still well afloat, and their machines are still well taken care of. But the variety in those arcades is not as diverse as it used to be. As such, I try to enjoy these arcades when I get a chance. They're already deadish in America, and they're on their way to that in Japan, too. Anyways, thank you for reading this email. It's great to be listening to OLR full-time again. I'll see you folks at 6. Rinmari Clarita.
Well, thank you for the, you know, kind of state of the different arcades you were able to visit over in Japan. And I can't wait to hear about Rama's experience, too, when he's back from his trip. And I'd still love to go someday. Y'all know I've never been to Japan. I'd love to go at some point.
I'll tell you what.
One of my friends is moving there.
My desire to go to Kyoto has stopped. It's completely over.
Why? What happened?
Seeing how touristy. Well, okay, I want to go to Kyoto, but I don't want to do the tourist things. Because right now, tourists in Kyoto are fucking everything up for everybody.
Yeah.
The locals are angry. You have people who are completely disrespecting shrines, littering, trying to destroy like ancient bamboo forests by just being absolute idiots. And completely, you know, hogging up the bus system and everything. And I don't want to contribute to that. I'm thinking if I go to Kyoto, I want to go to the places that are off the beaten path. Or maybe to some of the other shrine towns and go actually be respectful instead of, you know, being a stupid Westerner.
Yeah, I have not one but two friends strongly considering moving over there. So at least maybe I'll have some people to visit at some point. But I'd love to visit at some point. So, yeah. All right. Well, that does it for our listener roundtable tonight. If you want to send us some emails in our future week, participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send an email. So that takes us to last minute stories. I don't know if we have anything, Loki, but I'll check in with you.
Nothing else other than what we just talked about with Michael Bay.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, then we're going to wrap it up for the night. I know it's a little bit early, but I have plans after the show because this is a 3-day weekend this week. And I think I noticed there's less people watching live tonight, probably also because it is a 3-day weekend. And so folks are out doing things. So all's good. Thank you for being here, whether you were live or on the podcast feed. We appreciate your participation either way. Super appreciate that. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. A nice 5-star review on a place like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube. And yes, I saw the YouTube comment. Were you going to say something, Jamie?
Yeah. Oh. No.
A nice 5-star review on those places go an awful long way, and we really appreciate those as well. But at the end of the day, a social media, you know, repost or anything like that, that all helps as well. Okay. With that, we're going to get to final thoughts tonight. Dark Sakura, you are streaming tonight after the show for a little bit, right?
I am, and I do, in this case, ask that if we have people show up, stay, because I'm going to be raiding Nick and Prince later, who is, like I said, doing stream for a cause, and I'm going to see if I can do some 2v8 in Dead by Daylight when Nick wakes up from his nappy naps.
All right. Then we'll go over to, I'll just say bye to you, Dark Sakura, so you can go off and get your stream started, but we'll see you next week.
See ya! Bye.
And meanwhile, we'll go over to Loki with your final thought tonight, Loki.
My final thought is hopefully I have my episode out this week. I work on something else.
Yet again, you broke up there a little bit, but I think you said you hope to get your final episode out this week, right?
Yeah, my next episode, yeah.
All right, nice. All right. Well, just in time for your webcam software to freeze. All right. Well, then my final thought is, yay, technical issues. And by this time next week, we will be in the range of the launch of the Switch 2, and I'm really excited about it. But in the meantime, I will play lots of time-wasting games, like I usually do throughout the week. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time here at Orange Launch Radio. Good night. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.